Okay, Shep, can I take two guesses, or are we going to play? Is that what you want to do? You want to play a little Jeopardy music? I'm reading your mind that you last week brought on Mike Hill, one of my old co-hosts, buddy I used to co-host with at ESPN Radio, now with Fox Sports. So that's one thing that made me think you're thinking someone I'm friendly with. And yes. Then you came in with NFL Network music as a rejoin. You know, so I believe that it could be one of two people, since you came in with NFL Network music.
You have a lot of respect for him.
Oh, well, guess what? I would have both respect for both of these guys. But when I think NFL Network, me personally, I think of Brian Baldinger or Steve Wyche.
You know what? If you missed
there it is.
John,
there it is.
I was going to be hurt.
There it is.
What's going on, brother? Good
morning.
What
are you doing, man? How are you doing?
Hey, man. Your wonderful crew hit me up a little while ago, and they asked me to do this, and I said, no problem.
And you're up. This is NFL season. You're going to be up. What time on a normal Sunday morning are your feet hitting the floor?
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you this. If I'm at a game,
yes.
I am probably at the stadium for the most part, especially if I'm on the East Coast before 6 a.m. Before 6
wow.
a.m.
So, who's letting you in the stadium at that hour?
Hey, man, we have pull.
you are the NFL Network. I mean, are you in the truck?
People.
Are you in the truck, like planning your stand-ups and planning those things for a Sunday morning, knowing, okay, I got to stand up at 10:20, I got to stand up at 11:20, have an interview to tape with this guy at this time. Is that what you're doing? If you're getting there at 6 a.m., what are you doing at that hour?
There's no truck. I am down on the field. I mean, we're on air.
So you're not on till like 8 a.m., right?
No. Well, you know, this season things have changed. We'll be on a little later, but typically, I mean, we've got like a 7-8 hour pregame.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, our pregame is like longer than both games, the 1 o'clock game and the 4 o'clock game. So, I mean, we're a little extreme.
but it's a blessing to every one of us that's an NFL fan. It's a blessing, so we appreciate it. Steve Wyche from NFL Network joining us here as we get ready for the season right around the corner. I knew you when you were, I'd say, I'm not saying just a beat reporter, but when you were a guy out in the 100-degree heat at Flowery Branch with us and watching the Falcons back in the day. Do you ever miss the intrepid days of just covering one beat, one team, one coach, one locker room?
I mean, there are elements of it. Just, John, you were out there hustling and grinding just like me as well, but there are elements of it just because of the personal touch, so to speak. It's not like I don't have it now, but it was kind of cool, you know, back then when, you know, every day you were going to deal with Jim Mora or Patrick Kearney or D'Angelo Hall or Michael Vick, you know. And then, you know, when a team goes through what the Falcons went through, and that was it 06, 07.
Oh, my gosh.
The dogfighting thing. I mean, that was like nothing. John, do you know this? There have been very few cities that have become scorched earth. Well, now I'm not talking clubs. I'm talking cities.
Cities.
Over something like that. I mean, we lived through one of the most incredible things in sports to really affect, you know.
The entire fabric of a community was affected by that story.
It tore the city apart.
And, Steve, I got to tell you, too, is that I will remember when my career is over. That will be the most memorable thing that I ever did, doing sports radio every single day in a city and seeing how that became a news story. I don't know how many nights a week we were like, our show would be on the nightly news because it was a news story that was taking this whole city apart. And I got to tell you this with Mike Vick, and I say it to people all the time. You got to know Mike personally. So did I. I knew a Mike Vick that would go and visit sick kids at the cancer hospital when I asked him to do it, and his only agreement would be that there would be no cameras, that there was no like media coverage of it. And so we both knew a Mike Vick that a lot of people didn't get to meet. And I'm so damn proud of him, the way he's rebounded from his misstep there. I'm very, very proud of him.
That's the incredible thing. I mean, years ago, I want to say it was 2 years ago, I was at an airport with him in Philadelphia, and Mike and I had not spoken one-on-one since the whole dog fighting.
Right.
I mean, and as you know, me and my partner, Daryl Ledbetter, we were the dog wagging the tail on that story.
You guys were.
And you know, Mike and I, our flight was delayed, and he was like, hey, Steve. And we must have sat together and talked for 3 hours. And I was like, I'm talking to a grown man here. You know, but when he played, yep. He was wonderful. I loved him. But, you know, there were some elements where you're like, how seriously is he taking this, right?
And right.
And now you just see life every day is very precious to him. And like you said, him the way he's grown.
Paying back his debters, I would tell you, to me, might be the most impressive spot. 99.2%, I think, of the dollars owed paid back. Nobody does that, including major celebrities, political figures, and some million-dollar businessmen in this country. And I just,
a lot of people try to finagle their way out of it.
Right.
It was like, nope, I did wrong. Let me take care of it.
Steve, what is the storyline that you're most intrigued about going into the year? It doesn't have to be an individual. It can be a team. It can be a league issue. What is the storyline you think that is most interesting to you?
Oh man, there's so many. This one might not be the screaming headline,
right?
But Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, guys who went 1 and 2 in the draft, they're the first quarterbacks ever to go into their option year without an extension.
Wow!
And to see guys this talented yet so many question marks around them. Playing in brutal divisions, right? The AFC South,
right.
AFC South, up and down, top to bottom, are probably the two toughest divisions. If they, you know, what happens if they don't have a great year, and what happens if they do? Because now we're over the $30 million a year threshold, right, for quarterbacks. People are going to be, no matter how great Jameis does or Marcus does, like,
right.
Wow, $30 million for these guys? There's still a lot of questions. So, I mean, that's one of the storylines. There's one of many.
I love that one, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that I think has been underplayed.
My first time ever being on a sideline as part of a broadcast team, doing sideline reporting back at Temple University, and Bruce Arians was the head coach. And he was the youngest head coach in college football. And to see we're at the Vet with and believe me, I think this was like a Rutgers game that might have had 20,000 people at it.
That's big. I remember back in the day I covered a game at the Vet against the University of Miami when Edgerrin James made his debut, and there might have been like 14 people in the stadium.
It's crazy. I mean, it's and to think that Bruce now has that one last hurrah, that one last chance with the Buccaneers to try to, you know, write another chapter, and I think he's got a good chance to do that. Without picking one name, but who's the best coach to just sort of take you behind the curtain? When you're preparing, you're covering a game for the week, you're in there, you're doing that game. The coach that will take you behind the curtain and share the most stuff with you.
Ooh, there are a lot.
Oh, there really are?
Sean McVay's fantastic.
He's a good Marist guy. Of course he is. He's a good Marist guy.
he's great. I don't know if you saw it last night, but this is something that could be coming to television next year because it was so incredible. During their preseason game against the Cowboys over in Hawaii, he came on live TV headset, like you see baseball managers do during games. And for a series, when the Rams defense was on the field, he got on the headset. He's calling, okay, here's what's going on. Look at the motion. Here's what they're going to try to do. But here's our guy. He did this. He's a great play. It was the most incredible. It was fantastic.
The only problem is that McVay's not going to get into broadcasting for another 30 years because you know he's a grinder, right? Or unless he burns himself out.
He's a great coach.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys you wouldn't think who really will help. You know, back in the day, John, going back to Atlanta, Jim Mora was fantastic. He was great.
He was fantastic. I mean, It's these coaches taking you behind the scenes is great. McVay, my daughter last year in ninth grade, at one of her trimesters, she had five teachers that had taught Sean McVay because they were all so proud of Sean not only being a state championship quarterback, but going to the Super Bowl. And there, five of her teachers that she had in a trimester all had taught McVay too. which is incredible.
He was there just 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, what, 22? I mean, so. Steve, you and I both married to Jamaican women.
Yes.
What's the best advice to a young man out there who might marry a Jamaican woman? Because, I mean, I always try to give mine. Do you have one for them?
Man, you're killing me here.
Come on. There is some advice. I always say have my listening ears on. Because sometimes I don't. And when I don't have them on, there might be a little elbow flying at me. You know, have my listening ears on.
I would say this to all married men.
Yes.
Don't ever, ever have a problem with taking an L.
Okay? There you go.
Just accept it. Move on.
Take the L and lose.
Keep it moving.
Steve, I love you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
You're the best, John.
Thank you, man. Great to have Steve Wesch join us from the NFL Network. Great job, Shep.